Learning Nefesh HaChaim, we're starting this week with chapter 13 of Shaar Aleph. What we said in the end of, what we said in chapter 12 was, just to recap, we said an amazing chidush, that really Olam HaBo, until we create it, doesn't exist. I.e. for us, it doesn't exist for us. Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek le'Olam HaBo. Every member of the Jewish people has a share to the world to come. He has a potential to the world to come, which means not that there is a world that's existing there that he has a share of, but that he's creating Olam HaBo. His Maisim Tovim, all of his good actions are creating his Olam HaBo. They're actually making Olam HaBo. They're making the different sections and parts of Olam HaBo, and that's his Olam HaBo. And all of his actions together are his Olam HaBo. And similarly, the opposite also, that Gehenim also doesn't exist for this person until he actually creates Gehenim with his Averas. The person does Averas, and each Avera that he does creates another chamber, another part, another sky, whatever it is, another world in Gehenim. He creates Gehenim himself. So that was the 12th chapter, and in terms of the importance of our deeds, that our deeds really are ourselves. We create ourselves with our deeds. Our deeds are the sum, we are the sum total of our deeds. As we live in this world, deed by deed, so to speak. And that's why in the sense this world is like a fractured world. You don't see your true self on this world. I saw Rav Dessler explains that Shabbos is a time, it's called Shabbos Menucha, that's the time when you really get into contact a little bit with yourself. That's when a little bit you come into contact with yourself. But in this world, it's just, you're given like slices of yourself. Each moment is another opportunity to do something, to choose to do the right thing. And that's just an aspect of yourself, which is then either elevated to the next world and kept for you in the next world, either as a, in a good sense or in a negative sense, either as a slice of Gan Eden or a slice of Gehenim. But that is, right? And that's just a little slice of yourself, which is that moment of your life. And the world to come is the totality of all the moments of your life, which is the totality of yourself. You create your world to come, both in the positive or in the negative sense. And then just two points that he mentioned at the end of the chapter was number one, right? It says that, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, there's a maimah of Chazal from Baba Kama that says, anyone who says that Hashem is forgiving is giving up on his own life. So he said, what's the pshat there? And we can be forgiving. A person, even a person, a simple person knows how to be forgiving. So therefore, why can't Hashem be forgiving? The answer is there's nothing for him to forgive. You know, as you creating your reality, so what must he forgive you? That's your reality. That's your future. You creating your future. What must he forgive you? If you create something good, then you've got something good. What? If you create something bad, then you've got something good. How can it be such a thing? Hashem, you can't say Hashem is forgiving because it's you, yourself, you're creating your reality. Therefore, there's no room for forgiveness. A person builds himself a house. So he built it well, so he's got a good house. He built it shoddily, so he's got a poor house. The thing is going to fall down. It's not a properly built house. So what's there to forgive here? You have what you've done. So that's, just to explain that, Nakuda. And the other Nakuda that he ended off the chapter with was tshuva. That it's true that a person can, with his averes, build himself a Gehenim, but with tshuva he can actually undo what he did. We have tshuva, is the chiddush of tshuva, that you can change the past. It's something that's mamish, totally supernatural. In the natural world, you can't touch the past. What happened, happened. What happened, you can't touch it. What happened yesterday? I can't go back to yesterday. There's no time machines. It's a science fiction. You can't change the past. But since, in the spiritual realm, that the past is another slice of you, so you can actually go back and you can actually change that slice. You can actually do tshuva. You can actually change your past. That's the chiddush of tshuva. You can change your past. And therefore, even though a person has done bad things in his past, with tshuva, he can turn them around. He can change averas into mitzvahs. He can change chovas into zchuyos, right? That which is a liability, he can turn it into a merit. Right? All of that's the power of tshuva. So therefore, we are creating our future. We are creating the world to come. And we have different tools. One of the tools is tshuva. But obviously, it's all of our deeds that ultimately count for our future reality. In chapter 13, we're going to learn that it's not only our deeds that count. And let's start as follows. V'chein be'inin his oirus shelamala al yedei bechinas hadibur. And similarly, in terms of the upper arousement, we arouse upper worlds. Our actions in this world affect what happens in upper worlds. And that's also not only through action do we affect upper worlds, but we also affect upper worlds through speech. Our speech also affects what happens in upper worlds. Every word that you say has some effect in the upper worlds. Amos is one of the Treasar, one of the 12 minor prophets that we have in the Nevi'im. So there's a pasuk, a famous pasuk, Kina Yoitze Horim Uvoire Ruach. It's a description of Hashem. Hashem is the one who forms the mountains and creates the wind. Umagid L'odom Mai Seichoi. And he tells a person what he said. And Hashem tells you what you said. So to speak, in the future, Hashem's going to play, there's going to be a video, there's going to be an audio recording, a video recording of everything that you said, and He tells you what you said. And the Mesillas Yesharim says, even in those very private moments, a person's just like with a very close friend, or a person's with his wife, and he says something to her, all that is also replayed, because everything has an effect. So Hashem tells a person what he said, and on this, Ki Omru B'Zoya, the Zoya says on this, he brings a few sources, the Zohar, the Zohar Chodesh, etc. Shaloshin Hagod, he tells, what's this Hagod? Magid L'Odim, what's this Magid? Shaloshin Hagod, he tells him, Shai Chal Raza Dimilti, the Hagod means the secret of his word. Now, what did his word do? What was the effect of his word? He said a word, what's the secret of the word? What does the word actually do? The word is a button. But what's on the other side of that button? When you push the button, so what happens? Maybe some great machine is suddenly lit up, is powered on. What does the word do? So that's magid, means raza de milsa, the secret of the word. In the future, Hashem will tell you exactly what your word has done in upper worlds, how it's affected, how it turned on the lights in different upper worlds. It's here kind of sa'odim. So the prophet Amos here is warning a person, on account of us now being in this very lowly world, he has got no idea, he doesn't see, and he can't grasp habinyan arisa, to the effect that he's building upper worlds or he's destroying upper worlds. We're not aware, otherwise we wouldn't have free choice. Hashem gives us free choice, so therefore he hides what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. We say something, but we don't know what we're doing with what we're saying. And the truth is, we're building something or we're destroying something. Right? You said a word, you just knocked down a skyscraper. Right? There goes the Twin Towers. Oh, you said another word, up goes the Eiffel Tower, up goes the Brixton Tower, yeah? The Hillborough Tower, whatever it is called. So therefore, a person doesn't grasp here. In this world, you don't really see what you're doing. You say a word. If you say a kind word, or you say an unkind word, you say mean to someone, we have no idea what we're doing. And about whether he's building or whether he's destroying, which is affected in the upper worlds, from every single word that you say. And therefore a person could think, a person who walks around this world could think, what's the importance of just a word? Oh, it's just a joke. I was only joking. It was just a remark, a comment. I made a comment. What's the big deal? So that's how we think. What's the big deal? What's the importance of a word, of just a speech? That's going to make some effect. The fact that I said something, that's going to affect anyone? No one cares. No one's interested. No one's listening. No one, I just spoke. No one paid attention to me. He should know for sure. Every single word and every single comment and conversation that he has, even the lightest conversation, right? Whatever you say with your lips, anything that comes from your lips, nothing is lost, and nothing goes to waste. Either it's doing something constructive or it's doing something destructive. Skip a small text. It's also one of the holy writings. So the Sabda Kedusha says, I feel hevel the puma, even the breath of your mouth,
Because it's not just words. Sometimes a person gives a krecht, he gives a groan, he gives a sigh, he gives a whoop, right? Whatever it is, even the breath of his mouth, osu v'duchte isle, has got a certain place and has got a certain position. Every word and every, even a breath, you just release a breath, right? You release a certain breath, which has a certain expression to, you know, a person, you know, he says something with his breaths. So therefore, that also has a special position and place in the world. And Hashem will do with it what He does with it. If it's positive, He'll use it in a positive sense. If it's negative, He'll use it in a negative sense. It's just the word of a person, just the sound. Even just a sound. It's not empty. It's not in vain. But also, duchte is lehu lekulu. Every single expression has a place in eternity. Has a place, because every moment of our life has a chashivas. Over parshas Metzora, kol mila v'mila da'apik b'amash b'pume. Another source. Just bringing different sources to back up the idea that he's saying. Every word that comes out from the mouth of a person, it goes up to upper heavens, it breaks through skies. The word, he says, just cracks through the skies. It goes just right through skies. And goes up to the place that it goes up to. A word that a person says just rockets up through the skies, through the heavens, to wherever it's destined to go. That's where the words go to. That's where the sounds that we make goes to. Also the Zohar, that word that a person releases from his mouth. Sometimes you say something, sometimes you open your mouth and you put your foot in it, right? Sometimes you already said it, you didn't mean to say it, but it's already out. That word that a person releases from his mouth, salka uvoka rekin, it goes and it cracks through the skies, the kaim ba'osa, the kaim, and it stays in the place that it stays. It goes to a special destination. But whatever came from his mouth has an effect in upper worlds. It arouses some sort of heavenly response. It arouses some sort of heavenly power. In others, it pushes a certain button which releases some sort of heavenly force. If it's a good speech, it releases holy forces. And he brings a pasuk here to prove it up. Pasuk of Mishael, Osim Dvar Beficha, I will place my word in your mouth. Because you see, the words that we say, also there's Siyata Dishmaya. Hashem helps us to say the words that we want to say. The person really desires to say something positive, so something positive comes out of his mouth. Hashem actually helps us with our speech. The person wants to say something negative, he desires to hurt someone. He's looking to hurt someone. He wants to give, he wants to poke him in the ribs with a sharp comment. So you're looking for those words. Hashem helps you. Where your person wants to go. So they help me from Shemaim. So the pasuk says, Asim dvar beficha, pasuk in Yeshaya, I'm putting my words in your mouth, lin toya Shemaim, which is going to actually create heavens. Your words, which you're going to release, which you want to release, which you desire to release, they're going to build the heavens. Another source. There is no word, the hule. So he brings here in the notes below, there is no word that doesn't have a shoresh. Someone who says a holy word, he says a Kaddish word, he says a brocha, or he's learning some Torah, or he says a tefillah, right? Mila derisive, it's a word from the Torah. Ovid mine kala. It becomes a voice. It's a voice that's heard in the heavens. V'salik le'el, it goes up to the upper worlds. V'sarik adoshim malka ilo, it arouses the angels above. It arouses holy angels above. The word that goes up arouses kadoshim malka ilo, right, the holy ones of the upper king. U'misatrin bereisha, and these angels create from this word, they create a crown around Hashem's head. A holy word, a word of Torah, right, a word of tefillah. They create a crown on Hashem's head. And this results in greater joy in upper and lower worlds. Right, this crown is something very beautiful. And this beautiful word, this word of Torah, creates great joy right through the heavens. Right? The melochim rejoice because of this holy word. inyan adibur, right? Awesome things, very wondrous things about the power of speech. Shel milin kadishin deraisa, holy words of Torah. The amazing force of holy words of Torah. Shekol almin nehirin mechedvosa, that all of the worlds are lit up by the joy. Now the words create a joy in the upper worlds, and this joy creates a light. This joy actually turns the lights on. And there's great joy and rejoicing and celebration which comes to the upper holy halls. So he speaks about here of worlds, and then he speaks of halls. Halls are something different. And they crown Hashem with holy crowns. Ein Parshas Kedoshim. There are many sources for this. He's brought us some of the sources. There are many sources for this idea. From every word or sound or breath of Torah or the tzlusa or of prayer, a number of holy angels are created from just the words. The opposite also. Person says a negative thing. He speaks lashon hara. Chas v'sholem. He builds these skies and he builds worlds, right? Black worlds, dark worlds, destructive worlds of shav, of emptiness, of destructiveness, of vanity. The samach mem. Right? We don't say their name. Rachmon etzlan. Goyim chas v'sholem. And it causes, right, Chas v'sholem, harisus v'chulban ho'ilomis, the destruction and the demolition of worlds, sidra mekov. It actually has a negative effect on positive things that have been built. So the negative world, not only the negative words are not only creating negative worlds, but they're actually destroying holy worlds. Right, it's not just two separate realities. The one affects the other, right? So he says that the word, which is a negative word, actually creates a demolition and a chorban and a destruction of worlds. Sidra and the kova, the order of the chariot, the divine chariot, which works, goes through the heavens. The divine chariot is the divine government of Hashem. And the government of Hashem is, so to speak, rocked on it's weakened because of negative words. Sidra, the kovak dusha, nogim, lesherish, hadibu, which are all affected by the root of words. Right? A word has its root. There's the fact that we can speak, there's some sort of heavenly root which gives us the ability to speak, and then our speech arouses that root, and there's sort of interaction both ways. There's what they speak about is sarus de latata, which is arousement from below. Through our actions, we arouse something, and there's some effect that goes up to the heavens, and there's isarus de lilo, there's a corresponding arousement from above, which comes down to us. So there's an interaction between upper worlds and lower worlds. Fine, bezoya, daleis lach tobu bishchule. But there's nothing good or there's nothing bad that doesn't have its root in upper worlds. Ve'oy lehem lebriyos. And woe to the creatures, woe to the people of the world. Shirois, they see what they're doing. They see to an extent. Shirois ve'en and yoidus ma'im rois. They see, but they don't see what they see. They don't know what they see. Ke'en lecho dibu she'en lo imokum. Because no word doesn't have there's no word that doesn't have its place. There's no word that's not slotted into a special slot, which has got to do with, as we said, the root of this word. Ki'oif ha'shamayim yo'ilich ha'sakul. The bird of the heavens. Oif ha'shamayim is also some sort of malach, some sort of angel. Yo'ilich carries the voice. The word comes out, an angel comes, he collects your word, and he takes it up. Right? He's the messenger. Okama althem mari de gadfin achdin le. And there are a number of thousands of angels hanging on to this word. Right? The word is going up to the heavens, and there are a number of thousands of angels hanging on to this world, the Salkin Lo Lamari the Madin, and they bring it up to the master judge, the Dining Lo, and it's judged. This word that comes up, it's carried up by these thousands of angels, and then it's judged, Hein Latoiv, whether it's for the good, this is a constructive word, this is going to build something, or Lehefer Chas V'Sholem, if it's the opposite, Chas V'Sholem. It's judged. Every word is judged. Of Parshas Kedoshin, right, another source, V'leis lach mila v'mila chulei v'kama kastoin v'schabrim imed ahu kama. There are a number of kastoin, destructive angels, malachi chabola, destructive angels that attach themselves to this voice, at the southeast, I laid the Tohim Rabba, and then it arouses the lower depths. Right? The Tohim is also some sort of heavenly world, some sort of negative heavenly world. And a number of accusations. It arouses a protest. A person says something negative, so they protest. There's like a protest. There's like a rally protesting his speak. How could he speak such a thing? There's these avenging angels that come to protest. Right, and they're shouting, how could he say such a thing? How could he say such a thing? Misarin ale ba'unash vai. Right, they come and they protest his actions. Vai leman da'atik mila bishem yipuna. Woe to the person who says an ugly word from his mouth. Woe, woe to him. Woe to the such a person. Ein sham. Ksiv. Another posuk, a posuk from Kehelis. Lama yiktsev alukim al kulecho. Why should Hashem be angered by your voice? We say things. This is a pasuk in Kohelis. This is not a Zohar. This is a pasuk in Kohelis. Why should Hashem be angered with your voice? V'chibel es ma'is yodech and destroy the work of your hands. Why should He be angered by your voice and destroy the work of your hands? Maybe good things that you've done in the past can be somehow damaged by negative things that you say. God la'im v'fiv mina oisev v'ma'isa k'moin erchin. Great is what a person says with his mouth and what he does with his hands. What he does is an action. The Omu Chazal, also Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kol HaMachlif B'Diburoi, someone who changes his word, means he says one thing and then he doesn't do it. He promises something, he says, I'm going to come and help you, and then he doesn't come. Or he tells a story and then he retracts. Someone who doesn't stand by his word, he changes his word, he's fickle. Someone who's fickle, Ke'ilu Oved Ovedus Kochom, it's like he's Oved Ovedus Zora, like he's serving idols, right? That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And this is what we started with. This is the pasuk in Amos that it says that it tells a person, right, when a person comes up to Shemayim, Hashem tells him what he said. Which is when a person comes to give judgment, the day of judgment, when a person leaves this world. So he comes into the heavenly court and he is judged. And he comes to give his judgment, he comes to give his testimony, the fon of Yisborg before Hashem, as who Yisborg magid lo yasoid. Hashem says to him, this is what your words did. Hashem shows him the secret of his words. This is what you did with your words. This is what your positive words did. This is what you built. And this is what your negative words did. This is what you destroyed. Rather, the milts of the secret of the word. Mashagorim seichel amala b'ilomis elyoinim. What his word caused above in the upper worlds. As we explained before, Shiloshin Hagodah, the word Hagodah, Perusha Raza the Mils, the secret of the word. Hagodah, you know, a Magid also means like a leader. Nahagid also means to lead. In other words, there's a consequence, the consequence of the word. In other words, the secret of the word means the consequence, what comes out of the word. So that's the Loshin of Magid. Perik Yudalit. Chapter 14. So we've spoken about the effect of our deeds and the effect of our words. But there's another thing that also affects the upper worlds and the lower worlds. And the other thing that affects heavenly worlds is the arousement that's caused through thought. Thought, our thoughts also have a power and they have an effect. Omer David HaMelech Alav Shalom. Says David HaMelech in Tehillim, Hayotze Yachad Libo, he forms together their hearts. Hamevin El Kol Ma'asehim, he understands to all their actions. Right? But Hayotzot Lema Hamevin El Hamevin Kol Ma'asehim. The Pasuk should have said he understands all their actions. Right? That's what we expect to say. He understands their actions. That's not what the verse says. The verse says he understands to all their actions. What's the to for? Right? We had this idea before. We mentioned this idea before. We brought this pasuk before. What does it mean he understands to all their actions? The Malav Perek Yud Beis Pirashnu. So back in chapter 12 we explained Al Bechinas Hamaisa. That's in terms of actions. What's the effect of the actions? He understands to their actions means where their actions are going to. The results of their actions. The consequences of their actions. To their actions. What their actions do. So that same verse we can also explain in terms of thought. Right? He understands to all their actions. That's also going in terms of thought. What's pshat? What does he mean? The who? And this is ki yitochin. It's possible. It's possible that two people are doing the same aveir. Two different people are doing the exact same sin.
The end calls there, and with and despite this, and onshem shave, the punishment is not equal. Two guys did the same thing, but they don't get the same punishment. Either because one of them has a greater seichel and a greater understanding and a greater grasp than his friend, so therefore he's on a much higher level, and therefore his words and his actions and his thoughts make much more greater damage, and therefore he gets a greater punishment. He's a greater person, and therefore he has a greater effect than his friend, and therefore his punishment will be greater. In terms of the root of his neshama, that his soul comes from a much higher place than his friend, and therefore he's judged more strictly. And therefore his punishment will be according to the amount of damage he did in the heavens. The damage each one does is according to the root of his neshama. So therefore it could be each one's got a different neshama. Each person's neshama comes from a different place. One person is high and one person is low, and therefore the higher person actually did much more damage, and therefore he gets more punishment. Like the Zohar says, man the pogrom letato, someone who does blemishes down here, down below, he does something destructive down below, pogim le'elo, he's also effecting a destructive act in the upper worlds. The also the is gaza nishmose, which is, where's up above? One who does damage down below is doing damage up above, and where is that? The also is gaza nishmose, from the place where his neshama comes from. That heaven which his neshama is coming from, that's the heaven that he is damaging. Visham and other sources, the kadban nash ovid chovin, when a person does sins, he does negative things, he does sins, the fum hahu banash, according to that person, meaning according to that person's level, hochi salik chovel asad is gazan ishmose v'chule. So therefore his sins go up to that place where his soul is hewn out of. And his punishment is according to his madrega. The kenkos of Arizal b'shar Yehudim, reish tikun avoinuis, b'kriyei tzada b'atom b'shar Shabbos, b'gugulim. The same idea. V'eino doi mehametane efchotz ha-melech, because there's no resemblance, there's no comparison between someone who dirties up the courtyard of the king, nehametane paltin shel melech, and then someone who filthies up the palace of the king. If you throw mud in the king's courtyard, that's a pretty severe sin. But if you go and sling the same mud inside the king's palace, then it's much worse. The kol shikei nakise, certainly if you sling mud at the king's throne, or big day tifato, you sling it on the king's garments and the king's cloak, you throw mud on the king's cloak. Kol shikei nakise, or certainly if you go and you throw mud on his crown, so certainly it's worse. So even though you're slinging the same mud, but it depends where you're slinging it. So if you're in the courtyard, that's one level. If you're in the palace, it's another level. If you're throwing it at the king himself, then it's another level. And even though those worlds which are higher, and now here comes an important point. Right? Those worlds that are higher, so therefore the power of sin cannot exerts such a great damage. Right? The higher the world, the less the world is sensitive to, right? Since it's so high, the less damage you're able to do. It's much stronger, it's spiritually much stronger, so therefore the damage you do against the higher world is much less. Right? The damage that you do to a very high, very spiritual world is very much, much less. In kol zeh, nevertheless, on she godel, he always says, still the punishment will be greater. If someone has been appointed to clean and to polish the king's crown, if he leaves just a little bit of dust, if you're polishing the king's crown, and you don't do a full job, and you leave a little bit of dust, there's a thin film of dust on the king's crown. Right? Now, you haven't damaged it so much, it's barely noticeable, but still it's the king's crown. And there's no way to imagine what punishment he's going to get, because that's the king's crown, chutzpah, the king's crown. You leave dust on the king's crown. Where someone who's been appointed just to clean the king's courtyard, someone who was supposed to clean
clean the king's courtyard, and he left lots of mud there, and left lots of dirt there. Nevertheless, it's a much smaller sin. Right? L'chein. Right? So therefore, we said that in upper worlds, the damage you do is much less, because the upper worlds are much holier, and therefore our sins have a much lesser power to affect them. But nevertheless, because of what it is, because of what we're dealing with, so therefore, leaving some dust on the king's crown carries a greater punishment than leaving piles of mud in the king's courtyard. L'chein rabu mishpatei Hashem emes. And therefore there are many, many different types of judgment without almost endless distinctions of the effect of our sins. We just really can't compare any two sins to each other. Because every situation is different, the person is different, the way he did it is different, and the way where that sin reaches, that upper world that the sin reaches is different. So therefore it's almost endless the amount of differences that there can exist between different sins. We call echad kefi madrigosu, each one according to its level. Hapagam b'shoyish nishmosu, the damage that he does in the root of his soul. Me'ezer ilam chutzvan, for which world that soul is hewn out of. V'gam lo yeshave oynesh shnei anoshim. Also, the punishment of two people can't be the same. Mitam shelo haisa machsheves shneim shava. Okay, now we're coming to our point. We wanted to say that thought also makes a difference. Now there's another reason why the punishment of two people cannot be the same, because their thoughts are not the same. What was he thinking? You say a person does something, you say, what were you thinking? So sometimes you say, I wasn't thinking. Sometimes you say, no, I was thinking. This is what I wanted to do. Right? So it depends. The thought that lies behind the action. And this is now we're coming to Apshat, that Hashem looks to every deed. He looks to, means he looks to the thought behind every deed. And this is our source for the importance of thought. Right? It's not just thought by itself, it's the thought behind a deed. Right? That the thoughts are not equal at the time when a person does the sin. And therefore the damage is drawn to these worlds also according to the type of thought at the time of action. The type of thought that he had will affect the action. If one person sticks a lot more thought into his sin, it's a thought out sin, a premeditated sin, right? He's been planning this action for weeks. For weeks he's thinking he's going to do this thing, he's going to sling mud at the king, he's going to shoot the president. And he's been plotting this for weeks and weeks and weeks. So all of those thoughts, imagine weeks and weeks of planning and plotting and he's going through the actions in his head. All of that's attached to this action. It's got mamish, it could be mamish weeks of thoughts, all attached to one action. So therefore, in ma'echet hidbik, he stuck to his action, yoyse machshavta. So to speak, the thought doesn't really take space, but it can be stuck to an action. It can be the action will be the vehicle to carry the thought. So he sticks more thought into his action, into his avera. So therefore, according to the thought that action was carrying, he's going to get a different type of a much more severe punishment. Because then that action is going to reach higher worlds. So the amount of thought that you put into something makes a difference. And that's also, that's something that we see for ourselves. In this world, it's also true. The amount of thought you put into something. Right, you see, you buy a friend a gift, you say, oh, that was a thoughtful gift. But it's true, if you put a lot of thought into getting the right type of gift for a friend, it actually makes a difference. It actually makes him much happier. It somehow he picks up the amount of thought you put into it. So you spend 2 weeks thinking about what you're going to get him as a gift, it comes through in the gift, he picks it up. Right, if you just, you're rushing off to his party and like you just jumped into a local cafe and you just found the first thing you could and you just ran out and you just brought it for him, so that would also be picked up. People pick up these things. It comes through. That's true in this world. So kal v'chomer in higher worlds, so therefore the amount of thought makes a difference. Right? We've got that in Halacha as well. Someone who sinned accidentally, shoigeg, so his punishment is much lighter than someone who sinned purposefully. Right? The intention of the sinner makes a difference. And now we've got pshat, a new pshat in the Gemara Yuma, that the thoughts behind a sin are more severe than the sin itself. Because the thoughts really give the weight to the whole thing. The thought of sinning is worse than the sin itself. And this is what it says in Tehillim, Hayoytzi Yachad Libum. Kodesh Baruch Hu forms their hearts together, which means, Hayinu Shiroi Yachad Machshavos Libum, he sees the thoughts of their heart, Moshe Pirushu Chazal, Masech Rosh Hashanah, Hamevi El Kol Maaseh, he understands to all their deeds. He understands how these are affecting their deeds. He understands where these deeds are coming from. Which is to say, Hashem is Baruch. He sees what thoughts are attached to what deeds. When the deed comes in, the deed is examined in terms of the thoughts behind the deed. And he judges each one according to the type of thought that he had when he did the sin. Another passing gelas, ki es kol ma'is elukim yaviv mishpat al kol ne'lam. All action will Hashem bring into judgment on all that's hidden. Every action will be judged al kol ne'lam, on all that's hidden behind it. Besides the punishment on the action, on the sin that was done actively, is called Maaseh, the entire action is judged. Legalgal aleha ladune al kol hamachshava nilemes. All of the hidden thoughts that are behind that action are all brought up. It's all brought in front of the court. Every single detail. It's all examined. Right? You were thinking this, you were thinking that, then you thought this, then you thought that. It's all out there. It's all exposed. It's all open. It's all for everyone to see. Echu beza oifen haisa beza siya. What sort of things, what thoughts was he thinking when he was doing it? Again, another source, Mishlei, chapter Gimel, Hashem bechokhma yosod eretz. Hashem formed the world with wisdom. Kain and Shemayim besfuna. He readied the heavens with his insight, v'daitoi, and with his das, tohomus nivko. The lower levels of the earth, the tohomus, the underworld, so to speak, was cracked open, was created. So with his chokhma and tvuna and bina and das, Hashem created the upper worlds and the middle worlds and the lower worlds. Klal kan der klal is kol olamos. This pasuk covers all the different worlds that are formed. Eretz u'olam ha'emtzoi. We speak about the land. This refers to the middle world. Shemayim and klal olamos elyonim. That's speaking about the upper worlds. Sohemus and klal atachlonim and the sohemus. The depths are speaking of the lower worlds. Right? Three levels of worlds: middle, higher, and lower. Ba'om achazeh b'ni al yeluzu enecho. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, just be careful that your eye doesn't strain. When he says your eye shouldn't stray, your eye is referring to also the thoughts. The thoughts that you're thinking. As you're looking, your eye strays. You're thinking this way, you're thinking that way. Don't let your eye stray. It's referring to thoughts. As a pasuk, my heart saw. So we say, my heart thought, right? But we see the expression that's used for thinking is seeing. A chacham ein av beroisha. The chacham's eyes are in his head. It means his thoughts are in his head. Right? His thoughts are in his head. So therefore, eyes is also a reference to thought. V'yalizu, and yalizu means the straying eyes, i.e., straying thoughts. Metzina v'mishna shehuloshen akmumis, crooked thoughts. Strength eyes is straying thoughts. Crooked thoughts. Monolo is humelis is obvish of b'shamayim olov. This is what the pasuk says. And therefore, Hashem is saying to us. Right, first, the pasuk says Hashem created upper worlds, middle worlds, and lower worlds. And then he says, "Be careful of your eyes." Be careful of your eyes means be careful not to destroy these worlds. Be careful not to destroy and spoil all of these worlds, the upper worlds, the middle worlds, and the lower worlds, with a thought that's not an appropriate thought. Right? After Hashem tells us about how He creates all the worlds with Chochmah, with Tvuna, with Bina, with Das, He says, be careful of your thoughts not to spoil these worlds that I've created for your benefit, for your enjoyment.